Good morning. It's a pleasure to welcome you to the South Norfolk Baptist Church, and we'd like to welcome those especially who are visiting with us. If you are a visitor this morning, you're not a member of our church or our Sunday school, we'd like to have you raise your hand so that we can recognize you. If you'd raise your hand, please, we'd like to give you a visitor's card. If you'll fill out that visitor's card and turn it in to the offering plate as it's passed by, fill it out completely for us so that we can have the information on you that we need. It is good to see each of you this morning. Let me share several announcements of the week with you. This is our week of prayer for Home Missions Week. And hopefully you all have this in your bulletin, the insert today in your bulletin. Use this all week long as your prayer guide. There is a mission story and a prayer suggestions for every week, for every day of this week. So you use this as we are in the middle of the week of prayer. Some of the activities of the week, let me share with you, will be on Wednesday morning. The Baptist women will meet at 10 o'clock, and that is for that. We'll have the home mission study at that time. Now, that is just not for women. Men, you come on out and meet with them also for the home mission study. Then on Wednesday night will be a week of prayer service at the regular prayer meeting time. And then on next Sunday morning is our week of prayer breakfast at 8 a.m. There's a list on my door that you need to sign if you plan to be here. The cost is $1.50 for adults, 50 cents for those who are 6 to 12 years old, and under 6 free. And those of you who come to those breakfasts that we have for our missions emphasis know what a good breakfast you get and a good program, so you make sure that you will be there next Sunday morning. Please let us know by Thursday if you plan to be at the breakfast. It's a good way to start your Sunday morning. Now, if you look at the display that is here, we'll tell you about our goal for Annie Armstrong Easter Offering. Our goal is $1,850. The goal is down at the bottom. $1,850. Merely, what does each light represent? $50. Okay, so what is that? Six lights are lit. And how many lights then will we have all together? 37. Okay. All right, so we need to light those. They'll light all the way around. Is this what they'll do, or just the top half? Okay, the top half. So you watch that as those lights light up as we give our money to Annie Armstrong. Other announcements of the week, well, the boys and girls, I failed to mention this, on Wednesday night, Acteens, RAs, and GAs will have their home mission study at that time. We are still in our fabulous Sunday's emphasis. Last Sunday, we had several departments, at least around 10, and groups of people, general officers and such, who met their goals, and many went over. I have not had a chance to check today to see what departments and how they did. I know one department told me they had met their goal, so I hope that's what we find as we look at our fabulous Sunday number 2 and look towards 3 and 4, and you'll be seeing the goals in the messenger that comes out for the week. Thank you.
Turn with me to 255, if you will, and we'll sing together. Sweet, sweet spirit, 255, as we stand together, please.
Expression, body, prayer. Father, we enter thy gates with praise, for we know that the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting, and that his truth will endure to all generations. Therefore, today we come to praise thy name and to lift up our voices to thee and pray that thy spirit might truly bless. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now keep your hymnal and turn with me to 335. We'll sing the first and last stanzas, Standing on the Promises, 335.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
You have your Bibles, you'll turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. We'll begin reading at verse 13. For brethren, we have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the lust, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are contrary one to the other, so that we cannot do the thing that we would. But if we be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And Paul goes into a long list of the works. And finally in verse 25 he says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let us now bow for a moment to prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to thee today through Jesus our Lord, who is the only way of forgiveness. We come by the appointed way, Christ, the perfect, the holy way, the satisfying way. We bring to thee today our guilts that need to be pardoned. We bring to thee our uncleanness where there is necessity of cleansing. We bring to thee our weaknesses where there is need for further strength. We bring to thee the unrest which we have in our hearts, and we seek thy peace. Bless us, each one and all who are here, and those at home, and those shut in the hospitals. We commend our sick to thy gracious favor and to thy love. We would today renew our petition for thy blessings upon those who are in services serving our country around the world in the armed forces. We pray, our Father, that thou would grant thy grace and thy trust to be with all of our hearts today. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we ask it. Amen.
The offertory hymn is 131, if you'll turn with me. 131. Stand together as we sing, please.
Not a cloud before.
Our Father, we bring our tithes and offerings today to assist thy kingdom. We pray that thou would use them to spread the truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
I've been thinking about two fascinating subjects this week. Who controls my life? And the playground of children, which I am determined to talk about tonight. The children's playground. That's not the Goldsboro Coliseum. I'll give you that tip. But who controls your life? That seems to me to be the question of the hour. What is a spiritual Christian? I often hear people say, I would like to be a Christian. But I don't believe I could live the Christian life. The answer, of course, is you can't. None of us can. That's the reason why we come to God for forgiveness and for His power. The Spirit does not operate on our terms. This is, that is to say, we do not use His power like we would go into a shop and use a power tool or some other electric appliance. We do not control Him, but He controls us. We are not the potters, but we are the clay, and He is the one who fashions. It is not how much of the Spirit I can get, but it is how much of the Spirit that the Spirit can have of my life. Paul answers these questions for us, beginning in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. He simply says, who is going to control your life? Now, for you men, I'm not talking about your wives. Who is going to control your life? And Paul makes it very clear. There are two great forces in this world. And one is the flesh, and the other is the spirit. In Galatians, in this passage here, about 16 times, Paul talks about the Holy Spirit. In verse 13 of this chapter, he begins to talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. How you must control life for us. People have discussed this problem of two natures for years. And some people say that in the child of God, there's no such thing as a nature of the flesh, because the flesh is supposed to have been erased. But that's like giving you an x-ray picture and saying to you what's wrong. Paul says the flesh is that something that I have. It's the old nature. It's the thing my parents discovered within me a long time ago. Let me illustrate this. Here I am fast asleep at night, and I hear the baby crying in the next room over. I say to myself, kidnappers for sure have gotten through the window. They're in there getting that baby. He's just crying and crying. And then I leap out of bed and I rush into that room. For certain that he is in imminent danger, and I turn on a little light. And then I look down and I see two bright eyes. And then a great big smile comes over his face. That proves to me we all have flesh. Even in a little baby, we can discern this nature. It's there. And Paul says the Spirit ought to dwell in us. And there is a ministry that Paul says the Holy Spirit has. And I need to know what the Holy Spirit wants to do. There are three basic ministries that I want to offer you out of this passage of Scripture here. First of all, the Holy Spirit enables us to fulfill God's law. Verse 13 through 15. The Holy Spirit enables us to fulfill God's law. For, brethren, ye have been called into liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serving one another. And then he says, I can sum it up for you in one word. Listen to what he says in this 14th verse. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Did you know God expects you to fulfill the law? Not the ceremonial law. Not when April comes, you'll go out and get a lamb and kill a lamb and put a little blood on the doorpost and over the lintel. No. But here he says, you can fulfill it in this way: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I can take two or three attitudes toward the law. I can, first of all, look upon the law as an enemy and fight against it. Secondly, I can look at the law as a master and bow down before it. Or thirdly, I can take the correct view of the law and look at it as through love and let it be my servant. That's why Gideon became the man that God wanted him to become. He was in the wine press, an ordinary farmer out there beating out some wheat, make some bread with, from the flour, and an angel showed up and said, thou mighty man of valor. You know, when the angel says that, you almost smile. But here's a man hiding, looking every way to see if anybody's watching him. And yet the angel comes and says, thou mighty man of valor. Gideon must have said to the angel, you've got the wrong address. You better look at that envelope again. This is not the right zip code. No mighty man of valor lives here. I'm out here hiding from these Mennonites. I'm beating out some wheat so I can get some flour to make some bread with. But if we hang around long enough, we see what happened. The Holy Spirit took a hold of Gideon and made him a mighty man of valor. And that's what happened to the flesh in his life.